The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Lord God, your loving kindness always goes before us and follows after us. Summon us into your light and direct our steps in the ways of goodness that come through the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Have you ever gone fishing?
Yeah, I caught a fish before.
You caught a fish before? Have you gone fishing? Sometimes. Well, let me think about what do you need when you go fishing? You start.
You need a fishing pole.
You need a fishing pole. What else do you need?
A net.
A net. What do you need?
A reel.
A reel? You could, yeah, you need that.
Bait.
You need bait. What's bait?
Bait is like tiny fish or little pieces of, or worms, or maybe like those plastic things that look like fish.
Okay, so what else do you need? I'm going to come back to you. What else do you need? Because I want to talk about bait.
It's ocean.
You need an ocean or a body of water of some sort, maybe. You know, that's about all I know about fishing is that it involves water.
Anchovies,
that would work good. That's for bait. Anything else? What do we need? Oh, maybe if you're going to go out in the ocean.
We need a boat.
You need a boat. Okay.
And
a fishing license. Oh, yeah. This is a girl that's got her mind on. Yeah, thinking ahead. So today, Jesus says to a couple of his friends that he calls to be disciples, he says, you know, you guys are good fishermen, but I want to make you fish for people and get people to believe in God. And so you don't need a rod and a reel, you don't need a fishing license, you don't need a boat, but you do need bait. But what kind of bait? You don't need anchovies, because that's not going to attract people to come and listen to about God. What's going to attract people?
People will want to come because they're yelling, like, come.
Oh, so it's an invitation.
Yeah.
People will come if they get invited. That's right. And we invite people to come. You know, that's one of the things that a lot of churches have bells. And they ring that bell, and that announces that there's something happening at the church. Let's go and see. And so people come. That's an invitation. Did the church bell bring you to church today?
No.
No. Something else brought you to church.
Jesus and God.
God, how did God bring you to church? When did you get that invitation? It has something to do with that water that we were standing by. When you got baptized, that was your invitation to believe in God, to be part of God's family. In your Sunday school lesson, you're going to hear about... No, that's fine. You know, that's a good thing, to use your voice in God's house. We like that. You use your voice in God's house. She wants to get closer to the altar, that's fine. So you're going to hear a story when you go to Sunday school now about people fighting. Christians, good Christian people in a church fighting because one says, I like this person, and another one says, no, I like this person, and then they were fighting. And Paul had to write a letter to them, and he says, wait a minute, you're not supposed to be fighting who's for this guy and who's for that guy. You're supposed to be Christians who are only for Christ. And we are all part of God's family. So we're not divided, but we're united in our baptism. So go off to Sunday school and hear more about that.
A reading from Isaiah. There will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time, the Lord brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter times, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, On them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 27 responsively. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
One thing I ask of the Lord.
One thing I seek.
That I may dwell
in the day of trouble, God will give me shelter. Hide me in the hidden places of the sanctuary, and raise me high upon a rock.
Even now,
hear my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me.
My heart speaks your message. See my face. Your face, O Lord, I will see.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not away from your servant in anger. Cast me not away. You have been my helper. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation.
Glory to God.
Reading from 1 Corinthians. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you may be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the road, by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And he went from there. He saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Have you ever heard of a program called NBC? It's a training program for nonviolent communication, NVC, nonviolent communication. The premise of these educators is that they start with this idea that people are compassionate by nature, and that violent strategies, verbal or physical, are learned behaviors that are taught and supported by the prevailing culture. Students of nonviolent communication are taught, first of all, to consider the other person's humanity when communicating with them. And I think that sounds like a really good place to start in a conversation or in a relationship. Nonviolent communication invites us not to be guarded against others when entering into disagreements with them, but it reminds us that the person we're talking with is simply that, a person with fears and hopes, a person with anxieties and dreams. And instead of letting our fears and our anxieties come out, nonviolent communication teaches us to see the other person as a fellow human being, deserving of compassion, trying to understand the other person. It's a style that isn't what our contemporary culture teaches. In fact, it's just the opposite of what our contemporary culture teaches. When we encounter people who have different ideas or different opinions or beliefs and practices, our culture teaches us to turn away, to build a barrier, to turn from rather than toward, to put up our dukes rather than to extend our hand. The psychologist who promotes this nonviolent communication observed that the stance of contemporary culture teaches us is to see others, to see people whose actions and values we don't agree with, that we see them as wrong. There's something inherently wrong with the people we don't agree with. They may or may not be an actual threat to us, but we decide that their ideas, their worldview is a threat. They desire no good for us, and they must be working contrary to our efforts. That's what our culture teaches us. The gun owner is antagonistic to the anti-gun activist. The Muslim refugee is a danger to the Christian citizen. The Democrat is an anathema to the Republican. Because they're different, something must be wrong with them. When we look at people through the lens of other, projecting our own views on them, we're defining them according to our understanding of them. And our understanding is often not favorable. Of course, real enemies do exist, but it's too easy to simply label the other as enemy, as against us. The other person becomes an enemy simply by expressing an opposing view or an alternate way of life. Well, Jesus shows us a different way. We heard in the gospel today that John had been arrested, and he's sitting in prison awaiting his execution. It's then that Jesus gets moving. He picks up where his cousin John the Baptist left off. Jesus' proclamation sounds just like John. Repent. The kingdom of heaven has come near. So Matthew, in his recording of the gospel, Matthew tells us that Jesus left Nazareth, not because he wanted to get away from Herod and his threats, but Jesus goes, like John went to the wilderness, Jesus goes to the Galilee to proclaim what the prophet Isaiah had foretold. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus proclaims that the coming kingdom of God is coming, is near, is here. He invites through that word repent, which means to turn around. It means to turn around, to change your mind, to be different than you were before, to repent and to receive the news of the kingdom. And then after he proclaims that announcement of repent, he starts gathering the disciples and proclaiming what that kingdom is all about, preaching, teaching, and healing. Jesus begins his proclamation, though, with that word, repent, repent. It's not just a command, it's an invitation. It calls us to turn away from a course of action, from our current mindset, to choose a new and a better way. The call to repent is powerful. It suggests also, it suggests that no one is beyond God's redemption. All of us, all people can choose a different path. All people are called to repent. When John meets Simon and Andrew, these two brothers who make their living fishing, he calls them to be fishers of people. He uses their skills, their gifts, and turns that to be put to work for the kingdom. But he says, you will be fishers of people. The goal is always the people. God prizes the people. It's people that God pursues. Though some may write off others as enemies, or even think that some people are beyond redemption, they are still worthy of God's abundant grace. Not only does Jesus announce that the kingdom of heaven has come near, he calls the people, he calls us to repent. And we can't separate participation in God's kingdom from that call to repent. And with it, that call, our call to seek all people to participate in this kingdom. Our fight, and as Christians, we are called to fight. Our fight is for justice and for peace and for human rights of all people. And our fight should be for the good of all people. We can't allow complacency or self-centeredness to stand in our way. We fight for what is right, not to be right. When we fight for what is right, we already are right. When we fight for what is right. This season of Epiphany proclaims the light of Christ in the world and is a reminder that we are called to repent and to be who we truly are, the children of God. And even if we don't know exactly what that means, that we are the beloved children of God, we know that we are valued and honored and loved by God. God calls us to be disciples, to repent, to fight for what is right. And even before that, God calls us not to do something, but to be something, to be God's beloved children, to live in that knowledge that we are the beloved children of God. But this isn't just about you and me and our individual calls by God to be that in that beloved child, but this is also about our congregation, about our community. We are called to be a community, to be a gathering of God's beloved children. God is calling our congregation to be a place where all are valued, all are welcome, all are accepted. God is calling our congregation to be a sanctuary where God's word is taught and where the good news is always proclaimed and where all of God's children can find healing and hope. Our congregation is called to be a gathering of God's beloved children, where all are welcome, all are accepted, and all will hear the news that they are beloved children of God. And all can find health, healing, and hope. Amen. I'm going to invite Denise to come forward.